I was recently blessed by Psalms 20. And in Psalm 20, it says, may your counsel be fulfilled. And I said, yeah, what is my counsel that I would like to be fulfilled? And I'm sure I've counseled many people, and God also blesses that my counsel would be fulfilled. But even before my counsel to other people, I was thinking, what do I want for myself? And I remember this theme of Jesus being my all in all. In my younger days, this was a huge theme. And we also had a song, All in All. I was looking for that, but I still can't find it. So I settled with the recent song, You Are My All in All. So I wanted to talk about this in 30 minutes. Oh, yeah. 30 minutes, period. Short message. My new goal for our campus message is short message. I won't give you minutes, but short message. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for this whole semester and quarter in different colleges, and Father, sustaining us through it, teaching us, growing us, and helping us to draw near to you. And so as we come to an end, we want to finish well and also even prepare for even the break time, that the break time will not be a vacation from drawing near to you and growing in you, but even during the vacation time that we would grow in you even more so, especially in the way of enjoying you as our all in all. And so, Lord, would you bless this time together? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, so that's where I recently got blessed to be reminded again, what I want for myself is that Jesus will continue to be my all in all. And I guess the time that I really enjoy this more so, I guess through the years, this just evolved to enjoying God in different ways. But in my early years, I think I really understood this after my conference blessing of repenting for a couple of hours. Coming back, just God gave me a lot of heart wanting to pray. I got blessed through repenting for a couple of hours. And so I got a taste of prayer. So even after that, my friends, they used to hold prayer meetings. And so this is like Korean crazy prayer meetings. You know, they even at the conference, it was like 120 students in a huge room, and everybody got their corners, and then somebody turned off the light and were shouting at the top of their lung and praying, Jo, Lord, you know? It was all in Korean. So even after the conference, they would tell me, oh, we're having a prayer meeting at this and this time. And we go there, and sure enough, it's an evening time, and everybody's in the room shouting, la, 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 la. They just kind of pray. And so that was a corporate prayer. But I realized you don't want to do shouting out prayer all the time, because if you keep on doing that, sometimes it feels like, oh, I'm not in the mood of shouting and praying. And if you do shouting and praying because everybody else is shouting and praying, you feel like insincere. So I've learned a lesson from shouting prayer. It's just the goal is not to shout and pray all the time, but to be sincere and wholehearted. So just you could be quietly sincere, wholehearted, or you could shouting at the top of the lung and be wholehearted. You know, Koreans like to feel like they need to grab onto the church and a tree and say, Gio! You know, to get their system out, you know. But anyway, that was the beginning of my blessing. And then it just I just naturally wanted to like pray an hour a day. So from that point on, I used to pray an hour. I just divided it into 30 minutes before lunch at the chapel at USC, and then 30 minutes before dinner. So I did that pretty much in my junior year, senior year. You know, after I graduated, went to Korea, you know, just I try to keep that up. But, you know, along the way, it's kind of didn't continue on, but a different length of prayer. But what I do remember, especially during college time, that that praying for an hour, you know, you enter into this, you know, praying in the spirit. You know, in the beginning, you kind of like prayer gets caught in your throat, doesn't come out. But if you keep on praying, words just start coming out of your mouth. And you're not, it's like at the same time you're thinking, you're not even thinking, the words are coming out, you know, in praying to God. And so, but being in there, in that prayer time, there's a sweetness. There's a sweetness. And I understood that song. There's a song called That Sweet Hour of Prayer. Why there's that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Unless you had a experience of about an hour of prayer, just at least a lengthy prayer, and knowing the sweetness, you won't know it. But there's a sweetness of being in deep communion through prayer with God. I don't think I had a profound knowledge of God's word, but I just prayed, and that was just in that presence of God, there's a sweetness. And through that time, my heart just, I mean, along the way, you know, I start to enjoy that presence of God, the sweetness of God, the name of God, and there's just a satisfaction. There's a kind of a sweet contentment about, you know, being satisfied with Jesus, satisfied with God. And when you experience that sweetness, you say, this is all I need. God is all I need. The Lord's presence is all I need. Jesus is my all in all. And so there is a song that says this, and it ends with, you are my all in all. Okay, that's the song I'm talking about. So, you are my, and it goes up. Is that same thing?
It sounds similar.
Similar? Okay, wait, it's not that song.
Oh,
it's not that song. There's another song, but I really, you know, felt content and to the point, even in my life, I really didn't desire many things too much. You know, and when I was in Korea for a couple of years as an IT, that's, you know, right after that. And Mrs. Ha, you know, Mrs. Pastor Ha's wife, one day she goes, Minggan, you don't seem like you want anything. I want to know what you want so I could give it to you. But, but you know, I just, she thought I just didn't have anything that I really wanted. Because I was totally content with whatever. And being in Korean Navigator training, it's a pretty, you know, high standard training, but that's fine, you know, here to be trained, and that was great. So, but anyway, I think contentment just came naturally as I enjoy the presence of God. And so I this is kind of like what I wish for all of you in your younger days, is that you kind of grow a sweet tooth for prayer and sweet tooth for the presence of God. And by the Holy Spirit, that you will come to a place where you're just content with God. You're content with Jesus. Does that make sense? So I just want to share with you some verses after that little testimony. And so the first one, that my soul had been always delighted in is Psalm 73:25-26 first. Whom have I in heaven but you, and being with you, I desire nothing on earth. Though my flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So this passage from the early on, this was about a little before the midlife time. It's just, it just kind of resonate my soul about God being my all in all. Even though my flesh and my heart may fail, that refers to our, you know, personal life failing, being discouraged, you know, things not going well in life. To say that, you know, when I'm with God, if I have God, I desire nothing on earth. I told you what I want these days is like, I would like you guys to experience Isaiah 61. I don't have much thing that I guess I want, you know. And so actually I like tools these days, but you know, that's just temporary. But being with God, I really, you know, if you are with God and enjoy God, your heart is so satisfied and content, you really don't have any strong desires, you know. Your soul is like encouraged and comforted. And you naturally will say, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My portion, you know, we have portions that we want in life, you know, and my portion could be some things that I want in life particularly, but God is my portion, meaning he is my major portion, you know, he's the, my main dough, you know, he's my dough, you know, dough, not meaning money, but dough meaning like my food, you know, God is my dough, you know. And that's why the psalmist continues on and says, for behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is good for me. I made the Lord God my refuge so that I may tell of your works, all your works. So in order to enjoy God in this ways, staying away from God is definitely not the solution. But drawing, as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge. So more we learn how to refuge in God, refuge in Jesus, and drawing near to anything we can that could help us to draw near to God and really enjoy that deep presence and you know, just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and comfort us and bring us to a place of contentment. And you know that when you're there, you really don't desire anything in life so strongly. You could desire some things. You could like oranges and apples, you know, that's fine. You know, but you know, you don't like get infatuated with it. You know, you don't get like overly strong feelings about it. But your greatest contentment and satisfaction will be God and Christ. And so the next verse, Psalms 23:1-3, is another passage from my earlier years that I enjoyed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see that? Want. My want is not. You know, there is the not about my want. That means I don't have a very strong want. I really don't need much if the Lord is my shepherd. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. And so I've just experienced from the early on, I know that God is sovereign and he was orchestrating me from one place to the other, this person to that person, this decision to that decision. And so it's amazing. I could see God's fingerprint in my life, how he did that. And I could sense that the Lord is my shepherd, but if the Lord is taking care of me and guiding me, hey, what do I need to fear? What do I need to get insecure about? If the Lord is my shepherd, what do I need to control my life to say? I need to make my life secure. You know, so if the Lord's my not my shepherd, then because I don't have the great shepherd of my life leading me, I have to lead myself. Or I have to depend on something else to lead me. Or I have to depend on my plan to lead me. So I start wanting more and needing to have it because the Lord is not my shepherd. But if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Especially if he makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. So the Lord takes care of me. He hooks me up. He hooks me up. Or is that right? Yeah. He hooks me up with good things. So, but the later promises that I like is even Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, him being my shepherd is guaranteed that his love and goodness will follow me. So, that's another blessing I had in contentment. So, he's been good to me. He's going to be good to me. That's just been my experience in life. And so, in knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, it leads me to be content. And God and Christ becomes my all in all. Here, it's kind of like a foreshadow of Jesus calling the Father my shepherd, because Psalms 22 is referring to Christ speaking on the cross. Psalms 23 is also Jesus speaking, Lord, Father is my shepherd. Even though the Father leads me through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But in the same way, Jesus is our shepherd. We could apply this to our lives. You know, Jesus is our shepherd. Amen. Next verse is, what is my next verse? By the way, Jeremy set this up. He hooked me up with this one. I kind of got tired of choosing, like, what background should I use? It's becoming tiresome trying to choose which one. So I just started doing blank, but Jeremy hooked me up with this one. So then we come to New Testament. You know, we see God the Father being all in all. Here in the New Testament, first place is John 1:16. For of his grace we have received grace upon grace. You know where this comes from? Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God the Word came as a man, and he was full of, you know, grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And then in verse 16 says, for of his grace we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus is full of grace and he lives in us now. So we have received Christ in his fullness in us. And because of that, grace upon grace. So grace is basically all kinds of blessing from God, from the heavenly places. And especially if you become a new Christian, new life is a grace. Continually growing closer and enjoying God and God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you know, just abundant enjoyment of his presence is grace. So more grace you enjoy with Christ in you is a path of really Jesus being my all in all. Amen? And then we move on to Colossians. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rules, over all rule and authority. Christ in me, you have been made complete. So Jesus living in me is, we have the fullness of his grace, and we are made complete. Now this is a matter of whether you really believe it or not. Is Christ in you enough? Christ in you, did he make us complete? Or is it Christ plus Alpha? I don't know what Alpha is, like, you know, if I get good grades, if I get into good college, if I get into my professional, whatever, if I get a job, if I get a nice wife or awesome husband, you know, Christ plus, I got some problem, I need, you know, counselors. Christ plus, I need friends. Christ plus, I need, like, more gifts. Christ plus, I need some good looks, you know? You know what I'm saying? Is sometimes we don't realize Christ in me, we are made complete. So Christ is enough. The Bible says that the fullness of Christ, we have all received grace upon grace. And Christ in me made me complete. So we have nothing to be discontented about. But in order for this to happen, to enjoy this, we really need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not the knowledge of this truth that makes us be content. It's when you, by the Holy Spirit, you experience this in your life. As you're enjoying your devotion to God and experiencing the closeness of God in Christ, as you get more filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit just starts to heal and complete you, what you feel like you're lacking. So that's why the next verse is going backward. Colossians, 1:27, or what is that? It says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, the riches of his glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you is the hope of glory, of being complete, being totally satisfied, being totally fulfilled, where you can say, Jesus is my all in all. All I need is Jesus. Is there another song that said, all I need is Jesus? We said, okay, well, you know, we don't have to make a new song, you know, go sing that song. You know, Jesus is all I need, you know? So when you experience the completing of God's work in us, you know, Jesus is complete, and when by the Holy Spirit, he is completing us, he's healing us, he's comforting us, he's mending our brokenness, he's satisfying our deep thirst and desire, then, you know, his glory is being revealed in you, and you will say, God is my portion. I shall want nothing, and his grace upon grace is enough, and he completes me, and he is my all in all. Next verse, Luke 10:42, you know the whole Martha and Mary story, right? And Martha went to, you know, make food in the kitchen and wanted Mary to come and help, but Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are worried about and distracted by so many things. You're so not contented. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha was just like, oh, you know, we need food. We're not complete. We need food. Well, we need to go make food. We don't have food to eat if we don't make it. So she's just like, there's too many things to be done, and she's not at rest. But Mary, you know, she wasn't thinking about food. All I need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus' word. And if you have Jesus' word, you know, you don't think about food. You don't think about, you know, making food even, whether that's like Asian oriental-wise is a good thing or not, you know, but maybe culturally counter, but that's okay. Even if countercultural, Jesus is enough. You know, Jesus is enough. And Jesus affirmed that. you only need one thing: to come near me and enjoy me, my presence, and my words, right? So there's a famous like example I like to tell about Korean soap opera, right? Uh-huh. At this point is like, I was watching my sister was watching, and I was stepped in, and it was a scene. And then I asked, and I think my sister or somebody explained it to me. Well, there's this man who's in the kitchen with another woman sitting down talking. But it happens that this man was the boyfriend of this woman's sister, younger sister. But the man was living in the countryside. The woman's sister came up to Seoul, became a worker in this company, and the owner of the company fancied her, you know, and the owner's son started to, you know, just make a move, and she started to kind of respond. But she used to be a girlfriend of this guy who's from the countryside. So there was a kind of breakdown of communication. So she came up, or he came up to the city of Seoul and then visited her sister. So they're having a conversation on the table. And so with some breakfast. And then the older sister of this woman, who is now, you know, having a little swing with the owner of the company son, you know, said, you know, why do you like my sister? What is it about her that you like her so much? And the countryside man just calmly responded and said, I really don't know. All I know is when I'm with her, I just feel very full. I could be hungry. I didn't even eat, but then when I'm with her, I just feel full. Oh, that's it. So why does he feel full when he is with her? It's because he really enjoys her presence, and he really likes her and loves her, and just being with her just makes him feel full, even though he's hungry physically. So when you come to enjoy Jesus and receive his love, and you are thankful for his presence, and you just like Jesus, you just like God, you just like his presence, then your soul will feel so full, you desire nothing on earth. That's it. That's my message. May you go forth, draw near to God. And don't stop drawing near to God until you feel full. And Jesus becomes your all in all. God, we thank you for this time. Pray that you bless our brothers and sisters in these early years of their lives, that they would pray, desire to come near you, enjoy your presence until they feel full and are so satisfied that they would desire nothing on earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.